That's the only four things I need to know. Justified, sanctified, pardoned, and glorified. Turn with me now, if you would, to Revelation 17. Revelation 17. I'll let you take the time on your own to read through these chapters if you'd like to take the time to do that. Our Lord has said much in here that He has not explained. And He has every right to do that. He has every right to do that. He owes no one an explanation. No one. All He has to do is declare it, and His people will believe it, whether they understand it or not. So with that being said, I'm not going to try to explain the things that He has not explained. I'm just going to continue our picture of Christ with the things that He has explained. Last time we left chapter 16 with the accomplishment of the cross. That's what we looked at last time. From the moment that our Lord entered the winepress of God's wrath in chapter 14, to the moment that He cried at the end of chapter 16, verse 17, the last three words of chapter 16, verse 17 are, "It is done." It is finished. At that moment, all of God's works were accomplished. They were all accomplished. And that is what our Lord said to His Father. He said, "I have finished the work You gave Me to do." It's done. It is done. Hebrews 4 verse 10 says we can rest from all of our works now. And I love that message. I love that message. I love being able to tell people that. That's my favorite thing to tell people. You don't have to work anymore. I would love for more people to enter into that. You don't have to work anymore. You don't have to work for your salvation anymore. We can rest now from all of our works because God has rested from His. So that's where we are in our picture, this picture of Christ. The cross has just been accomplished. And we're going to see what that accomplishment accomplished. All right, what the accomplishment brought. And this word says this is what it brought. It brought judgment to the blasphemer. It brought victory to the Lamb. It brought union to the people of God with Christ. And it brought a resurrection from the dead to eternal life. Eternal life. Life. That's what it brought. That's what the accomplishment accomplished. Now, chapter 17, verse 1, it says, "There came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth had been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." That is false religion. That's what that is. That is false religion. That's the blasphemy of the adversary who has seduced the world with his lies of false religion. Works religion. Something other than Christ, whatever it may be. The accomplishment of the cross brought judgment to the blasphemer. And that judgment is accomplished. That accomplishment accomplished it. That judgment is accomplished. Hold your place right here and turn over to John 16. This is where we were this morning. John chapter 16. Verse 8 says, "And when he is come, he will reprove or convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. That judgment is over, and he knows it. It's over, and he knows it. Now go back to Revelation 17. The accomplishment of the cross brought judgment to the blasphemer, and it brought victory to the Lamb. Verse 14, if you look at Revelation 17, verse 14, it says, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." He is. Victory to the Lamb is accomplished. He is Lord and he is King. Hold your place again and turn with me to Psalm 98. Psalm 98, verse 1, it says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. His own right hand and his own holy arm hath gotten him the victory." Don't you just love the finished, settled victory of the Lord Jesus Christ? I love how dogmatic it is. Hath gotten him the victory. He has it. Look with me at Psalm 24. This is our Lord's ascension. After he was raised and ascended back up to his Father, Psalm 24, verse 7. "Heaven cried, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory." I can't wait to hear heaven cry that, much less a sinful man, but he is. That's what was accomplished in the accomplishment of the cross. When he accomplished the cross, that's what he accomplished. He became obedient unto death, and because of that, God the Father has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And I love the name. It is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now go with me back to Revelation. Chapter 18 continues to describe the judgment of false religion's idolatry. It's going to be a great judgment. But chapter 19, verse 1 says, And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah. That means praise ye the Lord. They said, Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. They never stopped crying that. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Praise our God. When our Lord, after he arose from the dead, the first person he appeared to was Mary Magdalene. And he told her she wanted to stay there with him. But he said, No, I want you to go tell my brethren that I am going to ascend to my Father and your Father. I'm going to ascend to my God and your God. Our God. Our God. Our Father. Our God. This is what the accomplishment of the cross accomplished. It accomplished the union, the absolute union of God's chosen people with Christ. It's where they physically came together. We know that so. That's where they physically were joined together. Eternally in the mind and purpose and will of God before the foundation of the world. But physically, that is where the man, I mean capital T, capital H, capital E, man. The man, Christ the man. That's where he did leave his Father in order to cleave to his wife. And they too became at that moment one flesh. That is where mercy and truth met together. That is where righteousness and peace kissed each other. It's where the covenant promise was fulfilled. Christ said right there, I do. I have, I will. It's where Christ and his bride stood together before the throne. It was the ceremony. That was the ceremony. It's where she officially received his name. Verse 6 says, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. It happened. And his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. At the cross. That's where that glorious, righteous array, that robe was given to her. That very righteousness of Christ. Verse 9 says, And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. That is what's happening right now as the gospel message goes out. God's people are being called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And they can hear it. And they can see it. And they can desire it. The Spirit of God, through the Word of God, will tell His people there is a marriage supper prepared for the King and His bride. And you're invited. And God's people say, I want to go. I want to be there. They hear the call and they want to come. They don't want to stay here. I hear it and I'm coming. Out of my sin into thyself, out of my bondage into your wealth. I hear it and that call is coming. They're being called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And by His grace, they're going to keep being called until it's time to sit down at the feast. As soon as the last member of the bride is called, the dinner bell will ring. Time to sit down. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. In the accomplishment of the cross, judgment was brought to the blasphemy. Victory was brought to the Lamb, and union was brought to Christ and His bride. It was the marriage ceremony of the Lamb. Now go with me back to Revelation 19. Verse 11 says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. And in the end is the Word. He said, I am Alpha. I'm Omega. I'm the beginning, I'm the end. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. That's his word of God. That with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then the next few verses say that he is going to carry out the judgment that he has accomplished. That judgment that is finished, he's going to carry it out. Chapter 20, verse 1. It says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. He bound him 1,000 years. Now hold your place and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. put a marker here whenever you get here. We'll turn back to it. Second Peter 3, verse 8, it says, "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day." With the Lord, 1,000 years is as one day. Now go with me back to Revelation 20. Verse 2 says, "He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him in one day." Verse 3 says, "And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till that one day should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season, till that one day was finished. Till the cry went out, it is finished. It is finished. After that moment, he must be loosed a little season, and we're in it. We're in it. Right now, we are in the little season." Verse 4. "And I saw thrones," governments, authorities, "and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God," martyrs all through the ages, all through those moments that we have recorded in history. Verse 4 goes on to say, "And which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ in their day." Verse 5 says, "But the rest of the dead lives not again until the day was finished." This is the first resurrection. Now, I looked for a second one and could not find it. Only one resurrection is ever mentioned. This is the first resurrection. There's only one ever mentioned. There is only one resurrection. There is only one life. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the resurrection. I am the life." Verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." Blessed and holy is he that hath part in Christ. That's a blessed man that hath part in Christ. "On such the second death hath no power." There's no second death for that person. One death only, appointed unto man to die once. "But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him today." They'll reign with him today. In glory with Christ, it will only and always be today. It'll only ever be today. There's no night there. There's no end of anything. There's no end of today. They're going to reign with him through that one great day. 1,000 years today. Verse 7 says, "And when the day is expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. The earth. This earth, the whole earth. Gog, that word means the mountains. And Magog, it means every covering. To gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That's what we are waiting for. That's the coming of the Lord. On the day that He returns, it says, turn over there. Go with me over to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. This is what we're waiting for. This is what we're waiting for. This is what life for a believer, this is what we're waiting for. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Still alive. They're just over there and not over here. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's what we're waiting for. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Do you believe that? Believest thou this? That's what's going to happen. That's what we're waiting on, and that's what's going to happen. The Lord is going to descend from heaven with a shout in the blink of an eye as lightning goes across the sky. He's going to descend, and the dead in Christ are going to rise from the graves and stand there with the saints that are still alive, all looking at Him. I've thought before that when we bury our dear loved ones, they'll come up right there. And I've thought, well, I'd like to be buried with the brethren. We're not going to be looking at the brethren. We're going to love the brethren, but all eyes on Him. And we're going to be caught up into the air. We're going to be forever with the Lord. And then, that is going to happen. And then, as soon as that happens, if you look at 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 6, it says, or verse 7, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed for 1,000 years. In that one day, our Lord is going to remove His people. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be happy. He's going to come down and get His people and take them out. And then He will fulfill His promise to carry out the judgment that is purposed on the world. Everything that remains will suffer His wrath, His fire. Now go with me back to Revelation 20. Verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. This is the judgment, the final carrying out. where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, the record of everything that every man had ever done in his life on this earth. All the sin, all the vileness, all the self-righteousness. Verse 12 says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, the book of Christ's life, Christ's work, the book that was given to all of God's elect. Everything Christ had done, all of his record in his life on this earth. Verse 12 goes on to say, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The elect had already been judged. They were already judged on the cross. And it was according to the book of life. Their judgment was over. That's over. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, that eternal spiritual second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is the moment that is soon to come, that casting, that's the moment that is soon to come when all of God's judgments will be officially carried out, sin will be forever put away, and all that will be left is eternal righteousness. Now we're going to stop here tonight. But let's end this with the glorious thought that John said in chapter 21, verse 1. He said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Everything John saw was so. And John said, the Lord Jesus Christ showed me a new heaven and a new earth. He said, I saw it. Paul said, I saw it. I know we're not supposed to envy, but I envy that. I envy that. Some are going to get to see it real soon. I envy that. Verse 2, he said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. And oh, it was glorious. Just so glorious. That's our home. That's our eternity. That's our city. I said it last time. I'll say it again. I love Kingsport. But that's our city. And if the Lord is willing, next time we'll look at it. We are going to look at eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Eternal life, sinless, spotless life with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's all stand together.